Who gets to have a family? It may seem like a weird question. Whoever wants to, right? But for people with disabilities, especially intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD, that was not always the case. In fact, for generations, many people with IDD were involuntarily sterilized and otherwise prevented from having children. Ivanova Smith was born with intellectual and developmental disabilities. She lives in Tacoma now, but growing up in Soviet-controlled Latvia, kids like her were often warehoused in orphanages. That's where she spent the first 5.5 years of her life.
I would say it was very lonely. Like, everything was the same. And I remember not having anything and not understanding concepts like family or anything like that. We had no holidays, no birthdays. I would just sit there. I remember one time I would just stare at a light and just watch little floaters, those little floaters that you get in your eyes. And that was my entertainment. Oh, I get really scared. I get really, like, an icky feeling. I'm very fearful of any type of institutionalization because of it. I actually do remember the day I was adopted. And so I remember getting taken out of bed, and there were these two people, and one of them was holding this big machine. Later I learned this was a camcorder, and my dad was taking video of me and meeting me, and that's how I met my new family. I eventually learned English, and I had to speak it stuff because I didn't learn how to speak till I was 5.5. I was babbling. There were times I had a hard time understanding people, and people had a really hard time understanding me. I didn't know how to play with toys. So, like, when I first got here, my sister gave me a stuffed bear, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I just gave it right back to her. And so my family had to help me learn how to play, and it was a challenge. I didn't understand the concept of family for the first 5 years of my life, so, but the grace of God, we got through the hard times and got to the good times. I think when I started seeing other people with IDD going to college, and I really love history, that's my passion is history, and that kind of motivated me and my mom and dad said that they would help me get into university. So Central was very welcoming because I was very honest with them, but they had really good disability services there, and so they were very supportive. So, you know, I would be at the Central Library and I found all these books about people with disabilities, and they were made in like 1920, and they were books on applied eugenics and how do you apply this stuff. And so eugenics was the science of how do we apply the healthy people breed and the immigrants, the Easterners, the people of other races, people of color, people with disabilities, people with any type of mental condition. Those are people with all bad genes, and they should not be allowed to breed. And I was just like, wow. And big medical tests that talked about people with quote-unquote feeble-mindedness. And I mean, these were like the manuals of justification back then, and they were still in our school university libraries. And so I started researching, I started reading these books. And it was really funny and ironic being, you know, in the 21st century, an IDD student, reading the books of the people who would have had been instituted and sterilized and no life of my own. And for some people, that's still happening to them. And so that's why I'm very passionate about ending these functioning labels. And this mental age theory is, you know, if you're mentally a child, we can take rights from you. That's what they would say. And just because I may need support with certain things. Like, I need support with cooking, and I can't drive. Doesn't mean I'm 12. Just like a person that uses a wheelchair isn't a infant because they can't walk. We all should have the right to grow up. I think I would have been put in an institution. I would have never been put in one I could have been adopted out of. I definitely would have been sterilized against my will. I probably wouldn't have been able to say anything against it because I probably would have stayed nonverbal, and I wouldn't have got to live the life I have now. Yeah, so I remember the first time I met Ian. It was one of the first days of youth group in seventh grade, and this was one of my family's attempts to get me friends, because all elementary school I had no friends. So I remember this boy coming up to me, and he sits right by me, and he just starts talking to me about magic cards. And I was like, oh, well, I just learned about magic cards. Then the second time I saw him was at a winter camp. He wooed me with history. He started talking to me about World War II tanks, and I loved history. But we went to separate schools, and so there were a couple of years I didn't tell him that I was a special ed, and he was not until he started asking me about my Wausau scores, the Wausau test, and I was like, I better fess this up. So I told him, and he said, I don't care, you're still the most intelligent woman I know. I was like, okay, thank goodness, because that means you do really love me and you accept me, and so I could be more myself around him. We got married right in 2014, and it was one of the happiest days of my life. A 100 years ago, I would have never been able to have my little girl. Oh, I was scared. I was so scared when I was pregnant. I have the nightmare idea that she was going to be taken from me. Like if I had a meltdown, or if, like in the delivery room, like somebody thinking I'm not safe. I was going to have my daughter separated from me. And so I tried to do a lot of precautions, and luckily I had made a lot of connections with parent advocacy organizations, and they helped me kind of, you know, okay, here's the goal. We got to get you into a safe home. And parenting classes, that was the other thing, gave me into parenting classes and gave me mental health care. I had my whole family and my friends in the delivery room with me most of the time. I think it helped a lot. Sometimes I have emotional outbursts, and I'm always scared of it when it happens in public. I really don't. I try for it not to happen in public, but sometimes it does, and I'm always scared that that's going to cause something. Like somebody tried to call CPS on me, or the police on me. I know that people can misinterpret things. And it's just like, I gotta be on my guard. I want her to keep her family. And I want other people to have the right to have this, too. And I hear my little girl.
That little snuggle. Now you'll get to meet her. This is a little snuggle. This is Alexandra. She's so happy. I love her so much, and I just want her to have a good life, and I don't think she would have a good life separated from me. Well, there was this one day that we were just sitting together, and she just was talking to me. And we just had like a little conversation, and she just snuggled and hugged me, and it was just a really happy moment. And then my husband got home from work and he joined in, and we were just a happy little family. And it was just a really happy, intimate I hope that bring other people happiness too. You like the picture?
I like the picture.
Yeah, you said the full sentence. That's correct. You like the picture.
I like the picture.
Yeah.
I like the picture.
Good job.